See how it all works out. Am I on? There you go. Morning, bros. What's happening? How are you guys? Sammy is amazing. All right, that's supposed to be my PowerPoint. Let's see what's going on here. Hold on a second. I am excited to be here with you guys. This is an absolute blessing. We're going to have the slide. There you go. How's that look?
Great.
You guys see that? We're going to have it up top, too. There you go. We want it on the video, too, so we brought this so you could see it in the frame. But super blessed to be here. The very first, absolute first thing I must do is pay an ode to Pete. I just want to say all the years that he's been pouring into us here, my life specifically, all the influence he's had on my life as a mentor, as a friend, as a role model, and then just to see him demonstrate for us the right way for a Christ follower to grieve, him and Susan both, through this time period has been second to none. We are so absolutely fortunate to have a man like that as a shepherd of a flock that we belong to. Amen?
Amen.
And so Pete's watching right now where he's going to see the recording, so I thought we can give him a big absolutely real quick if you don't mind. One, two, three, man of God.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, yeah, praise God for him. Thank you, Pete. You guys, most of you know me, some of you don't. Been coming here for about 6 or 7 years. God's called me to bless Israel, and we've been doing a lot of serving over there for the last few years, renovating bomb shelters, what have you. My career is I'm a firefighter in Long Beach here, and I have a beautiful family. In fact, I brought a picture of them for you guys so I can show them off. My beautiful wife and two daughters, and that's me. I'm a very, very blessed man, and I will talk to you more about the correlations between blessing Israel and how blessed my life is as we go on here. But, you know, I'm here to talk to you about God's heart for Israel, and really all we have to do, I brought my big Bible today. You know, I do all my Bible reading on my app these days, so this thing just kind of sits on the shelf and looks cool. But every now and then I pull it out and sit with it on my lap in my home, and it's amazing. But all we have to do to find God's heart for Israel is read the Bible, right? And just go through it, and we'll see from cover to cover. But the way I came about really discovering my love for Israel or having God call me came from a prayer that I prayed reoccurring and still do. And it's, God, I want to love what you love, I want to hate what you hate, and I want to see the world through your eyes. And there's a lot of things going on in the world, and a lot of things you want to jump in and start fighting and stand up for, and it's just, and some of them are right in line with what God's doing, and some might just want to pull you in and make you too busy. So that step back and just saying, God, where do you want me to fit in this entire mess? It wasn't long after that, a few years of that, and Israel landed in my lap. So let's pray that prayer right now, actually, Lord. Father, we want to love what you love, and we want to hate the same things that you hate. We want to stand where you want us to stand, Father, and we want to see the world the way you see it, so that we move accordingly, Father, and we just want to hear from you. So would you be the only voice in this place right now, Lord? Would you push out all other distractions? Would you remove the enemy in Jesus' name? Would you just have us hear what you would have us hear in this very important topic of your heart for your chosen people, Israel, Lord? We just ask you to fill this space in Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Amen. So we just got to open the Bible, right? And in the beginning, you know, when God had to decide what to do with us after the fall, I got to remember to change my slides. This is new for me. But I wanted you guys to have some slides. I wanted it to be a visual thing here, too. So I tried. So I worked really hard on this one, obviously, as you can see. they get more colorful in a little bit. So, a little bit of help. I always have help. I need a lot of help. So when God's deciding what to do with us after the fall, right, he could have destroyed us in a heartbeat. The kid said, you know what, not working out, we're done. But he is way too good for that. He loves us so much, and he begins to just show that by hatching a plan to one day redeem us, right? Give us another chance at this whole paradise and eternity thing. And so he did. And so he launched it, and it would ultimately be Israel that he launches a plan for. Ready for this? Ooh, look at those colors. See? I didn't make that at all. I found that. But I love it. So God would hatch a plan that would involve his chosen people, Israel, that would lead us through all of time and how he was going to bring about all of his children and bring them all back into paradise, back into eternity. Fast forward through the heavy stuff of Genesis till we meet a man named Abraham, and he makes Abraham a promise. And he promises to make him into a great nation and that he would bless the whole world through that nation and that he would, most importantly, I think for this moment in time is that line right there, that I will bless those who bless you. I'm going to highlight the several big reasons why you should choose to bless Israel. Some are just, you can't avoid them, and some are you know, maybe need to look a little bit closer to see them. But this is a big one, you guys, because he promises to bless you. You want a return on investment, you turn to God. And he always keeps his promises. There's no two ways about it. So you bless Israel, he says, I will give you a blessing. A blessing will come into your life as a result of you blessing Israel. And I'm living proof of that. My life is a testament to that. And so we continue, right? So, but the struggle was real for God's chosen people, right? I mean, all the stories from Abraham's life, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's the namesake. Jacob gets his name changed to Israel. He has his 12 sons, are the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. To Joseph, which is one of Jacob's sons. To Moses, to Joshua, right? We can just flip through the pages here, right? It's all here. Moses to Joshua, all the way from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. We've got King David and all that his life included, which is amazing. I mean, it's never ending, right? It just continues. And so through this, and it's one big love story, isn't it? Of a father chasing after his kids, his crazy kids, right? We've got good kings, we've got bad kings, we're listening to prophets, and then we're not listening to prophets, we're killing prophets. We're worshiping false gods. Israel's in this nation with God, surrounded by pagan nations and heathen nations with all kinds of gods, and this whole wrestling match. But through what God did and what he chose to do through Israel's story and history, we learn his character. We learn our Father's nature, his good nature, his loving kindness, his patience, his grace, his forgiveness. We learn that we can turn from wherever we are with our mess and turn back to him, and he's just standing there ready. I mean, we get exposed to the character of God. He chooses Israel to speak to us through his word. And so we can be grateful for that, right? But they are God's chosen people. His love, his promises, his atonement system, it all becomes Judaism. It all becomes the law of Judaism, their religion, right? And God chooses to make that. And we are all sitting here, a continuation of Judaism, whether we realize it or not as Christians. Christianity is Judaism with the Messiah come. That's who we are. And it all came from right here. But anyway, they find themselves in this place as God's chosen people, and it wasn't always easy. It's not always easy. It's still not. But so there's reason number two that I want to mention, to bless Israel, because God chose them. Our God, our Heavenly Father, who we love and worship and adore and who gives us everything, chose these people. So if our Creator, if you're wondering for a reason to why to just bless these people, then there's your reason. But so their story of their law, their religion, closes, and there's a 400-year gap from the last written piece of the Old Testament. So let's see here. So here's the end of the Old Testament, and here's the start of the New Testament. So this little page right here is about 400 years, and they're waiting for this Messiah that's promised, right? And then the Messiah comes. A Jewish rabbi from the region of Galilee in Israel named Jesus of Nazareth. A Jewish rabbi. At one point in Christianity, I don't think you would have recognized Jesus as a Jewish rabbi. I know I wasn't brought up understanding that he was a Jewish rabbi, but he was a Jewish rabbi. It was the Jewish faith, Israel, the Jewish people that God chose to write this story through, if I'm not beating a dead horse enough. But so he comes along, and they recognize him at first. I mean, think about it. Palm Sunday, why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? That weekend before Passover, the Passover that he would be killed on, he came into Jerusalem, and the word had preceded him of this amazing person who was fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, healing, miracles, you name it, and he comes into Jerusalem, and they won't even let him walk on the dirt. They're throwing down they're taking off their jackets and taking palm branches, why we call it Palm Sunday, and they're yelling, Hosanna. And so they see, obviously, something's there, the word is there, the word is out, and they realize who he is, but then so why did they kill him, right? And that's kind of the question that can cause this amazing tear in a lot of the conversation. And so what I do, and what God has shown me to do, is I just go empathetic, and I put myself in the crowd. I put myself in Jerusalem at that time as if I'm one of the people who's hearing about this, and this book, and the law that we've been waiting for generations, and there's somebody here that's going to do it. and we're oppressed by Rome. My children are starving. They're beating us. They're killing us. This is a horrible occupation that's going on in the Holy Land, and we're promised a Savior, and we're hearing that he's coming, so we are thrilled. But then a couple days later, the next time we see him in front of a crowd, he's beaten, and he's not fighting back. And we're waiting for him to start lobbing some Roman heads off, right? And like, where's the sword? What's going on here? And there's the religious leaders ready to just point and accuse and stir us up in the crowd. The mob mentality could easily take over, and we find ourselves switching from hope, and here he is, to losing hope, to fear, right? Then to anger, then to hate, and then to the dark side. I just, in the words of the great Jedi, Master Yoda. Okay, right? I mean, you can see it. And we have to remember and never, ever forget that the devil is behind it all. Our war is not against these people. Our war never was against any people. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual principalities of darkness behind it all. This is a war, and we are both the spoil and the soldiers. It's this amazing battle that's going on. God wins, but you got to know the devil knew who Jesus was. The devil knew exactly that Jesus was God, right? And so Jesus comes, and it's amazing, and there he is. But the devil swells up the uprising, the religious leaders play a part, and they shout for him to be crucified, and so he is crucified. But it all plays into God's plan, right? We know this. This was the sacrifice that was necessary. The only sacrifice that was big enough to actually cover us all was God's only son, God become man. It had to be that big, the biggest, as big as it could possibly get and as important as it could possibly get to God. It had to be that big. And so it had to go down this way. Jesus came and did what we needed him to do when we didn't even know that that's what we needed him to do. Right? And then he comes back after 3 days and hangs out for about a month and a half. Bible says 40 plus days. Teaching, ministering, showing us more of the plan, and he gives us his commission, and he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. I think he was very clear in saying that. He didn't say, guys, I just want you to get out there. He's like, look, it took a lot to get me here, and this is the epicenter of where the people are that I brought my story through. So I think he deliberately pointed that out for a reason. And we can't just look past the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria part. And then, so where do we fit in, right? So now, where do we fit in as Christians? Because the next reason to bless Israel is this attitude of gratitude. This we're grateful. Show them how much Jesus means to us by the way we treat them. But now that God has his Christians on the face of the earth, like, is he done with Israel, right? He went through all that, and now it's just like, to hell with them, literally? I don't think so. I hope that's not the God that you guys know. That's not the God I know. And it's not the one in the Bible. God's word is full of promises that have not been fulfilled yet to Israel. God's plan for Israel is still in play. It's still going on right now. So where do we fit in, right? And the short answer is always love. In every ministry, everything we're doing, if you just need one word to describe it, God is love. Love casts out, perfect love casts out all fears. Our role in this world in general is love. Okay, right? And we stay, like, check out this slide. This is probably my favorite one. Boom. Eternity. Oh, okay. Eternity for you guys that are looking up there. But you can look here. I needed a visual. Eternity is what? It's the absence of time. Eternity is what we should all be living in right now, right? There's no sunrise, sunset. There's no growing old from cradle to grave. It's over. You're in your best form of you worshiping God forever, fulfilled. That's eternity. And because of this story, and because we got to this point, because Jesus came, we get a second shot at eternity. We get another chance at paradise. It's happening right now. So live there. All this is going to fade. Suffer through whatever it takes to do the work of loving. So that's the mentality. But specifically, for what we how our role is now for the chosen people, we have to look to God's word, right? If anybody's standing in front of a microphone and they're not showing you God's word, question what you're hearing and go back and study for yourself what's in the Bible, right? So let's look at what God's word says specifically, because obviously we're going through this entire Bible and it's all in here. But what God turned my heart to was Romans 11, and this is a couple verses, but. Please go read Romans 11 from one end to the other and sit with it and pray about it. It's the verse that you, it's the chapter that we've all read through. We've read the Bible, but when God's ready, he lights it up for you. And it says right there, is in the beginning, is Israel cast out now? Is God done with Israel? Certainly not, exclamation point. And then we get to the heart of the chapter, which is what I put up here, which is that Israel has experienced a hardening so that we can have salvation. And we have salvation so that Israel will be saved. If that doesn't point to an ongoing plot, then I don't know what does. And so we have to have this attitude of gratitude. We're supposed to be attractive to them. There's supposed to be something about us that they see and then that God can speak to them through. And it's our actions of love and gratitude. It's grace. It's the forgiveness. It's saying, this is how much Jesus means so much to me. So just look at how I act. Look what I do. This is our life. So we got to get near them for that. We can't send that in an email. We can't put it on a billboard, right? So that's something that we're supposed to show them. They're supposed to see. And then we go to Romans 15, which is an amazing chapter that totally encourages us just as Christ followers, but specifically says, we are benefactors of what Israel has experienced, and so we owe it to them, our material blessings. God's literally saying, I'm making it very clear for you. I'm saying you should be blessing these people. You should be showing them, we love you. Show them how much I mean to you by blessing them. It's in the Bible. It's right here. We're looking at God's word. So there's my next reason to bless Israel, because Dad said to. And we don't want to be children that argue with Dad, right? So that's the next reason. But then I jump to Revelation, because if we go to the back of the book, so we worked our way from one end of the Bible to the next. So let's go to the last part. You know, Bill talked about the end times that we're in, unparalleled. And times things are unfolding in front of us, but I want to be a part of the good stuff. I mean, that's going to happen. I don't get all doomsday about it because I know God's got us under control, but he's also got work for us to do, which is the love. And there's 144,000 talked about in Revelation 7 and 14. They kind of parallel each other. And these are, God has put that on my heart that this is like 144,000 Apostle Paul's. And if we look at what Apostle Paul did, which was 2/3 of our New Testament, that man changed the world when he got his lights turned on. So if we get 144,000 of them on this world, where my kids are growing up in, let's see what they can do. And I don't know how they come about exactly. I don't know. But something tells me that if we've been given the responsibility of spreading the word, then they're going to somehow come in contact with some of us. Because these are 144,000 Messianic Jews given the seal. They're from the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 descendants from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's very specific. And so there's another reason. I look at just being able to play a part, and somehow, some way, if one of the people that we meet in Israel, one of the people that gets blessed by us, ends up maybe just one of them being a part of this, right? I'm just like, okay, I'm in. And so that kind of brings us to put some other verses on the screen that are just, I mean, the Bible, you guys probably know a ton, right? Through here, we could just find verse after verse after verse of blessing Israel, praying for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's endless. But that brings us to what we're doing, and I wanted to teach God's heart, but I want to show you what we're doing, because I am definitely inviting you guys to participate in what we're doing. In fact, I've got some handouts in the back, which are notes from this teaching, and has this on it, and you guys can take it. Everybody take your cameras out. Everybody's got a camera in their pocket, their phone. Take a couple pictures of what we're doing. Ryan and I are going over there, and this is all God breathed and God birthed, and we're blessing the soldiers of Israel. Through the last few times that we've been there, through Shelters of Hope, to renovate bomb shelters, we've made friends with soldiers. They're helping us design this thing. They're bringing us, they love it. And so we're going to be on base in Israel for the soldier celebration, and we're taking over their dining hall, and we're going to play. Sammy Parsons just jumped on board here. He's been added to the team. He's coming with Bob Boxer, who sits here, plays the keyboards. They're our musical talent, so they're learning Hebrew songs. They're learning some popular. They're going to put on a great musical evening for the soldiers. Dennis Prager heard about what we're doing through Glenn McGill and said, volunteered to be our guest speaker. So Dennis Prager, who's a huge media figure in Israel, is bringing a message on the importance of Jews and Christians staying united right now. I mean, come on. It's exactly what we need. So, and he's Jewish. And so it's like saying, look, we're building a trust. We're breaking down 2,000 plus years of mistrust. And then we've got these soldier gifts. And the soldier gifts are simple. We ask the soldiers what's something that the military doesn't provide for you that we could like just come over here with a ton of them. And so we've narrowed it down to a portable charger and a good LED headlamp. And we wrap it in an army green bandana with their flag on it. It has Psalm 91 in Hebrew. And so you can see the pictures of the packages there, and we went to Israel last fall, and Ryan and I kind of did a trial run, and we went up to like five different soldiers and kind of, hey, so it's kind of weird, but we're giving you this just because we love you. And you see them just, it really opens up their heart, and they're being touched. The emails that are going back and forth through me and the soldiers and the commanders that are on the base, they're blown away. They love this. I got to stop using blown away when I'm talking about soldiers. They are really encouraged by the love that we're bringing. I keep doing that. Yeah, better. And then each one of those gifts comes with our card in it. And this will be translated in Hebrew on the backside. And it just says exactly what we're doing and exactly what we're all about. We are not on a mission. Okay, there's missions are beautiful and amazing and needed. But this is not a mission. It can't be. First of all, because missions are forbidden in Israel. We're not allowed to evangelize or proselytize. And we couldn't say that we love them and then also go and disrespect them by breaking their rules. Those two things don't go together. And we've been very upfront. Yes, of course I love you and I would love for you to know my Lord. But I understand that that's not allowed. I'm not allowed to bring that here. So you tell me where I can stand. You tell us what space we can fill. We'll fill every inch of that space because we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is not held back by man's boundaries. Amen. Right? So we're going to come. Where can we stand? Right here? Perfect. We can stand here and tell you we love you? Then awesome. That's what we'll do. And then we trust that it will move beyond that. And when they ask you, hey, why do you believe in Jesus? Okay, finally, tell me. Right? I mean, then it's a green light, you know? And so then it's like, I'm so glad you asked that. So that's our plan. We're going to raise some money. We need your guys' help, definitely. This is going to happen October 7th. There's the prayer night on October 6th. Come right back here the next night. Bring a bunch of people. Make some donations. Sammy and the worship band are going to rock the house. It's going to be an amazing night. We're going to have pictures of soldiers, signs in Hebrew that tell them that you love them. And so you come here. We party. We have a good time. You get your picture taken with kind of a soldier likeness. And then those pictures are going to be played on our screen at the dining hall during the soldier celebration in Israel so they could see that there's a ton of people out there that totally have their backs. So this is going to be amazing, and I want you guys to definitely play a part in it. So, all right, let's see. So we've covered the Bible reasons of why to bless Israel, but I also wanted to draw some light to who Israel is on the face of this earth, whether you are reading the Bible or not, because, you know, they take a beating. Israel takes an absolute beating in the media. They take an absolute beating all over the place, but we have to remember some things. So I found an article that it captures exactly that. So let me just read a few things that Israel does on the face of this earth right now that bless us, because God promised to bless the world through Israel. Obviously, Jesus, hello, number one, the Holy Bible, right? Them shouldering, carrying the Word of God before it was ever written down all the way to us today. Amen. But even right now, as a nation on this earth, they have Jewish Nobel Prize winners in chemistry, economics, literature, medicine, peace, physics, and more. Major Jewish contributions to the world include contributions in computer and information science, mathematics, psychology, sociology, major technologies and capability, military technologies and capabilities that protect a lot of the world, including us. The war against terrorism, they're on the front lines. They don't have oceans that divide them from those that would do what they would do to us. War on terrorism. And then I love this little rant. Check this out. Children injured in the Syrian civil war receive life-saving treatment in Israel. Developing nations feed their hungry using Israeli expertise. Countries caught in drought grow crops thanks to Israeli innovations. The physically disabled in poverty-stricken areas, burn victims, the wheelchair-bound, those suffering from cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and post-traumatic stress, all these and more have the prospect of a better life because of Israel. But if that weren't enough, my personal favorite characteristic of Israel is their disaster relief. They send people everywhere there's a problem. Right now they're in Houston, they're in Mexico, they're in Florida, they send teams. And in 2010, after the Haiti earthquake, which captured all of our hearts, that Haiti earthquake struck late on a Tuesday night Israeli time, and the next morning an assessment crew from Israel was already en route. A 220-person delegation of medical personnel, search and rescue teams, construction crews, and communications and logistics experts followed 2 days later, and by the end of the week, the team from tiny Israel had set up the first, largest, and most advanced field hospital while their search and rescue missions scoured the debris for survivors. This is who Israel is to the world right now. You don't hear about this part on the news. You hear about their imperfections, and believe me, they're not perfect. And I'm perfectly comfortable to have that discussion of those issues with anybody, anytime. They're not perfect, and no nation is.
Amen.
Look at America, the greatest nation in the world, right? We're full of flaws. But I choose to focus my energy on loving, because I believe, like we spoke earlier, love will cast out all fears, and love changes the world. And I believe he's called all of us to serve in that regard. So we can talk about what you think of Israel anytime, but let's not forget that regardless of what's going on, our war is not against flesh and blood in general, let alone what we've already seen today about who Israel is. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Pretty exciting, right? God bless Israel. So check out this. Boom. Look how small they are. Right? I mean, just the size of California. There's a place somewhere called New Jersey. I'm not sure where that is, but wherever that is, that's how big they are compared to New Jersey. And so we want you guys to participate with us. Absolutely. We have several ways to do it. You can see this is from our last trip. And I recapped right here those reasons that I said to bless Israel, just as a reminder. So again, if you have your phones, pull them out, take a picture, and we'll switch. And I'm going to mention the October 7th event again in a second. But get involved, you guys. Participate. Don't procrastinate, or the devil will rip it out of your hands. Jump in with this. And just as a reminder, because I know I need the reminder, we all need the reminder, that sacrifice is not convenient. If it's not casual. Sacrifice means something because it came from somewhere that mattered. But God's blessings far surpass all sacrifice that you could possibly reach into your pocket and come up with. So please come on October 7th or donate in another way. I got my little, we'll be back here in the back. I'm not in a big hurry. I'm going to hang out. I love you guys. Hang out and talk. For those of you that have questions, and I have a handout from today's notes that you guys can use to recap. So I thank you so much for your guys' times. This is an effort born of Band of Brothers. Ambassadors is born of influencers. This is our deal, guys. This is God brought this here so that we would do this in this way and see the blessings of Israel, of blessing Israel, come right back in. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your words, Father. Thank you for me not messing it up too much and stuttering too much. It's always a possibility. Lord, we hear you, Father. We see your heart for Israel, and this earth is on a path, and it is wrapping up. And we will see the new Jerusalem and the new earth and the new heaven, Lord. And we don't want to stand before you and feel like we would have missed something that you would have had us do. And so we pray for your eyes, Lord, to see the world, and we pray for your guidance about where to move. And Lord, show us how to bless Israel. Show us where Israel belongs in your heart. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this men. Help them all to realize the encouragement that they are to everybody around them. Don't let the enemy get in their ear and tell them otherwise, Lord. All that has come in my life from blessing Israel, in addition to being here and just gleaning off of these men, Lord, I'm so grateful, Father. Remind them who they are as they walk this week. And we just thank you for everything you give us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.